Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, February 11th, 2013. I hope you had a very nice weekend, and the new week is off to a very good start for you so far. We're live noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice, and we're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program to three different websites, starting with my own, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com, and we have links now on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun and blogforarizona.com. At 12:05 every Monday, we get things going with our two teams of commentators. Today it's the Eckerstrom-Ash team. 30 minutes past the hour, we're going to take a deep dive into Tucson International Airport, discussing TIA's past, present, and future with Bonnie Allen. Bonnie is the president and CEO of TIA. She is also chair of the Worldwide Organization of Airport Executives. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040. You can also post a question to our Facebook page. Rosemary Brandt, our outstanding producer, will be checking the Facebook page for your questions. Every Monday, we do kick things off on the Monday Political Face-Off. This week, it is Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He is in his second term in that position. Is that correct, Bruce?
That is correct.
Okay. Paul Eckerstrom is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. I sent some people over the weekend to Moe. I said, this guy is the best when it comes to framing, and they said, you are right. He does fantastic work. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, did you both have great weekends, or nice weekends anyway?
Yeah, it was, I went down to Tubac and also did the Fort Lowell walking tour.
Oh, you did? Fort Lowell days.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, very nice. And Bruce, you went to the game last night. The California Golden Bears came ready to play.
Well, they certainly had a couple of players who were ready to play, and they shot lights out pretty much throughout the second half. We blew a 5-point lead at halftime and lost the game, unfortunately. Fortunately, we didn't lose that many places in the national rankings, because there were six other teams within the top 10 who lost games last week. But it was a heartbreaking loss, and you sure hope that they will do well on the road this week against Colorado and Utah. And that Colorado Fieldhouse Barnes is a tough place to play.
It'd be like if we were still playing in the old Bear Down gym, right?
Yeah, it's a little larger, but it's the same idea, and it's very, very loud there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you learn more from your losses than your wins. That's what I'm hoping on this one. Mm-hmm. So,
Paul, let's begin with you. Clean Elections has been around, hard to believe, since 1998, so that would put it in its 15th year. The people at Clean Elections want to strengthen what they have. They've introduced legislation at the state capitol. Voter Involvement Program is their bill proposed by Clean Elections Commission. Are you in favor of what Clean Elections stands for, Paul Eckerstrom?
Yeah, I am. I think it's important that regular people have the ability to access the political system as candidates, and the only way they can really do that is have a publicly financed system like Clean Elections, and we have it at our state level, and we have a form of it in our city council and mayor's races as well. And I think I'm very proud of Tucson, because I think we were the first in the nation to do something like that, long before the state did Clean Elections. Clean Elections, look at otherwise, politics and running for office is just a rich man's game. Clean Elections gives regular folks a chance to at least get in there and run. They don't get a lot of money, Probably not enough. It probably needs to be bumped up a little bit to make them a little more competitive, especially in some of those statewide races where, you know, you run for mine inspector and you get like $100,000 to run a statewide campaign. You can't do that. It doesn't work. But it's important at the legislative level, especially, I think, for regular folks to have a chance to run for their state house or state senate. And they do give you a threshold amount of money there where you can win with clean election money.
Do you like it, Bruce Ash?
Clean elections was a conservative idea promoted by progressives, which has benefited probably more conservatives over the years than Democrats. However, I'm not a believer that, A, there needs to be much strengthening of the infrastructure of clean elections, and number two, and this is probably the most important thing that I can say about clean elections, it really hasn't cleaned up any of the lobbying, any of the influence that any of the guys in the suits have exerted on our state legislators. I was just at the Capitol last week, had a short business meeting with the speaker on a matter, and I was not there as a lobbyist. It was a political party issue, and I was flabbergasted at the number of people in the hallways, in the offices, all trying to get to all of the legislators I was over on the House side. I'm sure it was the same kind of feeding frenzy over on the Senate side.
So you're saying
well.
The lobbyists were just kind of hanging out in the hallways.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know, it is like a feeding frenzy. It's this big like fish tank filled with these guys out there, and they're literally swarming all over the place. And frankly, and Paul and I might disagree on this, but you know, the governor's expansion of Medicaid here in the state of Arizona largely comes as a result of two very influential lobbyists, one her former strategist, Chuck Coughlin. And you know, I think that these guys continue to have a lot of influence on our elected officials and not necessarily for the right purposes.
Well, I won't disagree with Bruce that lobbyists have a huge influence still at the legislature. I think clean elections helps in that these lobbyists don't raise money, give them money directly if a person runs under the clean election banner. If they run traditional, of course they're going to take money, and most of it comes from people like lobbyists and wealthy people that have a certain interest in legislation. I would say one of the problems we have in the legislature is these legislators are term limited. And one of the problems with term limits is you don't have what I call institutional memory, where you have some people who have been long-standing, been there a long time, know the P's and Q's of everything, know how legislation is made. What happens is these lobbyists who are experts in writing legislation present legislation to legislators who are new, who are rookies. They haven't been around that long. They take the easy way out and say, okay, I'll run your bill for you, for the lobbyists, because they wrote a bill. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have term limits. Term limits are good in some ways, and in some ways they're bad, just like clean elections is good in some ways. Some ways it can be cut against certain things. But in this case, I think term limits have more to do with the influence of lobbyists than anything else.
If I could just say another word with respect to the efficiency of clean elections today in 2013, perhaps in comparison with 1998 and the early 2000s, with independent expenditure committees, both those that have stated their donors as well as the Citizens United groups who don't, whatever the influence that clean elections might have had has largely been dissipated. And with all due respect, I think it's a misnomer to say that clean elections continues to have the same kind of influence that it once had, because, you know, even rather obscure candidates are able to gain mightily, even though there's, you know, these constitutional limits through clean elections, through the independent expenditure committees. Yeah. All very legal, all constitutional. You know, that's part of the cost of living in a free country like we have. but lots and lots of influence of independent expenditure committees.
Well, and I think you're right about that, Bruce, and that's a problem with our whole democracy is the amount of money that comes in. I like clean elections now because it does still allow just a regular Joe out there to be able to run a campaign. He may not be able to win, but he's at least able to get his voice heard or her voice heard. One of the things I would say, though, is to really reduce the influence of lobbyists is we have to deal with the money in these campaigns through independent expenditures, as Bruce said. And the only way we're going to do that is if we have real campaign finance reform, which is capping spending on any particular race. And the only way to do that is pass a constitutional amendment in the U.S. Constitution, which is very difficult to do, to allow government, both at the federal and state levels, to put those public finance reforms into place. Right now, the First Amendment blocks that, particularly based on two Supreme Court rulings, Buckley versus Leo and Citizens United. And so I'm a believer in public finance reform. The only real public finance reform we're going to have, though, is if we pass a constitutional amendment.
And every time we begin messing with elections this way, just like when we begin messing with income taxes, somebody figures out a different sort of a way to beat the scheme. So, you know, it's sort of the challenge as well as the problem with living in a free country the way we do.
Yep.
12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Do you think clean elections is a good idea, or should perhaps it go away? That's one of the things we are talking about on today's Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is with me, seated to the right, and Paul Ackerstrom seated to studio left with me. We are going to take a break right here. We'll be back and go to the Buckmaster Show live line right after the break. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off on The Buckmaster Show. The Face-Off with Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe does it all. He'll come out, do all the measuring, and of course, then they come back to the shop. He's got a fantastic shop. They put it all together, and then he'll bring the product, if you would like, back to your home and hang it for you. We're talking about the Clean Elections, which has been around since 1998. There's legislation at the state capitol to expand it. Let's go to Terry now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, sir. Bruce, Bill, and Paul, how are you guys doing?
Doing good. Well, thank you.
Good, Terry.
Okay, yeah, this is a great show. It always is.
Thank you very much.
A clean show and interesting and new. I want to say this, the clean elections. Now, are these just folks that come up every once in a quarter or 4 years, or are they appointed by Chuck Huckleberry, or the structure of the voting irregularities? Do these guys or gals, do they meet in a cluster, in a closet, or... I mean, who are these people? I mean, can you honestly bring one of them on your show?
That'd so you're talking, cool. Terry, you're talking about who are the people on this Clean Elections
Committee? Who are the mystery makers?
On the commission.
Right.
Bruce or Paul, go ahead. Thanks. Pretty good question. Go ahead. Thanks.
You know, I think that members of the commission are appointed by the governor, but I think the administrator is a regular political position that's appointed by the governor and runs a pretty significant budget these days. There's several million dollars.
Yeah, no, that's my understanding. The commission is appointed by the governor, and so I'm not sure their terms though. I suspect they're about 4 years each. That's usually the case on commissions like that. But but really what they're doing is just implementing the law that's been implemented. It's fairly nondescript stuff. I think what the proposals are, and one of the things I would propose is that we up some of the monies because, for example, in the state legislative race where you can get competitive with the type of money you get, it's barely competitive what you can. It's slowly getting eroded away because, like, mail costs are going up faster than what they've been adding to. There's a formula that allows it to be you to get from year to year get a little bit more because of inflation and population growth in the different districts. But it's it the costs are going up faster than what the money you get is keeping up with. So I would bolster that a little bit to keep at least the legislative races competitive. Those statewide races, you can't really compete anymore for governor or attorney general with the type of money you get in clean elections. So maybe governor, because they do give you a little bit more in governor than all the other offices. But it's tough to do at a statewide level. But in those legislative districts, it allows a regular person who isn't of means to be able to run for office. And I think that's important for our democracy.
It appears to a lot of Arizonans, Terry, that clean elections is out to self-perpetuate their own interests. The amount of money spent on cable, on broadcast, on radio, on billboards, athletic venues is enormous. And
under the auspices of getting the word out about what it is.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, any knucklehead who's running for elections knows, I mean, unless they've been living in a closet for the last 13 years, about this thing called clean elections.
Where they can get money to help their campaign.
I mean, it's just, you know, and this is a self-perpetuation of the democracy. We saw some of that happening, you know, with the you know, some of the health care monies that are available, you know, through state constitutionally mandated accounts, and also with the education funds. And really, I just look at it, they pull the stuff out around election time, and it's just to kind of, you know, do the stuff that they need to do to perpetuate their own deal.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with Bruce on this. Those commercials, I'd rather that money being spent by going to actual candidates who qualify for clean elections, a little bit more money for the candidates to get the word out about themselves rather than self-perpetuating their own.
If you want to self-perpetuate yourself, fund the candidates properly, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
You know, and rather than funding yourselves, it's sort of just, you know, the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah. It's interesting. You said at the beginning that you felt that conservative candidates really have been helped by clean elections since 1998. But you would just soon see clean elections go away?
Yeah, I would. I'd rather see term limits go away. I think that I agree with Paul about institutional memory within the state legislature has eroded. And I don't think that we get our best, with all due respect to all of the members of the legislature, I'm proud of each of their service, but I don't think we necessarily get better people running as a result that they get, you know, $16,000 or whatever the deal is, you know, and even clean elections has been somewhat eroded through court cases as well, you know, which has further, I think, deteriorated their effectiveness. Anytime we start monkeying around with this election process, people find a way to get around it.
This goes right back to our arguments the founding fathers had. I know Jefferson had the democracy should be open to the masses. And a lot of folks, the Federalists specifically, thought that it's more the elitists should more have more influence. The elites should have more influence in our democracy because they're better educated or whatever. It goes right to that. And I think generally, Bruce is right, clean elections doesn't have quite the impact it used to have because of certain court cases. But the one thing it does do is it allows regular people to run, and I'm okay if it means a more conservative person gets in there because they weren't weeded out by the business class in the Republican Party, for example, because they couldn't raise the money amongst them. I'd much rather have I'm a Jeffersonian, I guess,
or the unions of the Democrat Party.
Yeah, but I'm a Jeffersonian in all reality. That's the way I think democracy should work, where people have as much access as possible to their own democracy. And this is one avenue of that access.
And you would also agree with Bruce about term limits?
I do agree with Bruce about term limits.
Time for them to go away?
I think term limits has been damaging to our legislature. And I think that institutional memory is not there. We don't have the Leo Corbetts of the world being able to be speaker and have this institutional memory of how legislation gets through and what's good legislation, what's legislation written by lobbyists that's bad legislation. I think that's important. And, you know, it would reduce the influence of lobbyists to a degree by going away from term limits again.
Okay, Bruce Ash, Paul Eckerstrom, thank you both very much for taking part in our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom-frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We're going to be talking about Tucson International Airport over the next half hour. If you have any questions about air service or questions about air transportation generally, Bonnie Allen, she is the president and CEO of TIA, will be with me. Be a great opportunity for you to ask a question or make a comment to Bonnie about air transportation. The number 790-2040. We'll be right back. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A $1 million reward has prompted numerous tips to authorities seeking a fired Los Angeles police officer suspected of killing several people. Police say hundreds of clues are being investigated. Former Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is taking to the airwaves, hoping to persuade Congress to approve gun control legislation. The headaches from the weekend snowstorm are far from over for travelers in the Northeast. 10-mile stretch of Interstate 91 was shut down in both directions for more than an hour today near Hartford, Connecticut, because of icy conditions on the road. It's not what the Cardinals, who met with Pope Benedict this morning, were expecting to hear. The pontiff told them that he'll be resigning at the end of the month. On Wall Street, the Dow down 29 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's science city.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon, 12:35. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Walk through the life as it was in the 12th century at the Gila Cliff Dwellings. These are fantastic. If you have not been over there to check it out, just north of Silver City, and Silver City has so many wonderful galleries and museums, including, if you like Mimbres pottery, they have the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world at Western New Mexico University. You can find out more about Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. They have the list of all the great places to stay over there, including Gila Hot Springs Resort and Georgetown Cabins. Well, the Tucson International Airport is in the midst of an update of its master plan, which is really an airport's long-term roadmap for growth and development, which will in turn impact our community's growth. Joining us now in studio on the Buckmaster Show, Bonnie Allen. Bonnie is president and CEO of the Tucson International Airport Authority, and since 2008, she served as chair of the board of the International Association of Airport Executives, which was created in 1982 to further advance airport management, education, and professional development around the world. Bonnie, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight to see you again and to talk about the airport. And I think one thing a lot of us who travel always like to go in and out of the Tucson International Airport. It's a nice facility. It's clean. It's up to date. It's modern. And as I say to my friends, Bonnie, why drive up the road 100 miles to Phoenix when you can support local people?
Well, thank you very much for those nice comments, and our people will be very proud to hear that. We work very hard to make Tucson International the most positive first and last impression of our community that we can.
Tell me a little bit about this master plan. Why are you doing it now?
Okay. Approximately every 7 to 8 years, we update our long-term master plan, and that goes 20 years and beyond, and it includes forecasting of passengers and operations, and it includes the long-range plan of development for projects that we need to do to accommodate our passengers and our airlines, and also land use planning on what we can do to try and attract business to the airport and grow jobs for our community.
The 2012 economic impact study was very impressive for TIA, contributing $3.2 billion annually to the local economy, supporting 35,000 jobs through direct, indirect, and
induced impact. I mean, those are pretty impressive numbers, aren't they?
Yes, Bill, they are. We were very pleased to get that with our team from Eller College, who did the survey for us. It just confirmed the importance of aviation to our community and to the economic growth of our community.
Talk a little bit about the land use planning. Why is this so important?
Well, the land use planning helps us identify the areas in and around the airport, specifically on airport property, that can be developed to support airline passenger service, cargo service, aviation-related businesses, such as we have on the airport, Bombardier and Ascent and others, along with the future growth and work with the community on the planned aerospace and development growth in the community. And we set up areas, and then we develop the infrastructure in order to attract businesses.
When you look at the growth, how many years out are you talking about, Bonnie?
Well, we start with the very long term, 20 years and beyond, and then work ourselves backwards. And we do a very detailed five-year capital improvement program plan. Then we do a 5 to 10 year, and then, of course, the long range 10 to 20. So that every time you update it 5 to 7, 8 years, you've completed the last immediate series, and then you use your long range forecasts and you look at what changes have happened in the community, in the economy, in the needs of the community, and all that factors in to the
now,
master plan.
The Arizona Department of Transportation has to sign off this, the first phase of this development, is that correct?
The Arizona Department of Transportation Aeronautical Division, along with the Federal Aviation Administration, are partners in this and provide grant funds for the master plan, along with TAA's local funds.
In terms of acreage, you've got quite a bit of acreage to work with, right? I'm not sure what the exact number is, but it's a large amount.
Yes, we have approximately 8,300 acres at International Airport.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Well, part of it was the long-range planning over many, many years. The last 30 years, it was identified what the ultimate airport would be needed to support this community when it reaches its growth capacity, and then began buying vacant land around the airport laying out the plans for it so that when the time is needed, the land is available. There are a few small pieces that are still on the tax rolls because there are businesses, viable businesses, that at some point we don't need them now, so we won't look at those till later. But we're very fortunate to have our policymakers have that vision, because this way we have the vacant land available for development, and we don't have to purchase homes and relocate people around the airport that many airports have to do.
How about runway expansion, Bonnie?
That's the purpose of purchasing this land, is for the runway expansion. We have property for the ultimate airfield, which would include 4 runways. And that
and
would
we,
be the
right
very
now
long term.
We're at 2, right?
Well, we have 3. We
three,
have a short
right.
crosswind and 2 parallels immediate to the terminal.
And also more immediate, because we've been talking really long term, more immediate work about the tower, our iconic tower that so many folks love to look at from the 1950s. Is that going to be torn down, or what's going to happen with that tower?
Well, currently, the Federal Aviation Administration is in design for the replacement of that tower. The new tower will meet today's standards, not 60 years ago, of course. The location will be on the south side of the field, which is better operationally for the controllers not looking into the sun, and it will be much taller, over 200 feet. That is an FAA project. TAA supplies the land, and FAA will build and maintain and operate it. Our existing tower, as you note, is
I love that tower. It has that Art Deco look.
Yes, it does. So,
is there a way to keep it, maybe make it office building or something?
Yes, we are looking at that. We don't have any plans to tear down that building. I think there's
good.
A lot
I'll
of sentimental attachment
to that. Put my vote
that.
In right now.
Yes.
We've got got so much to talk about with Bonnie Allen. If you would like to join the discussion, if you have a question about air service or anything to do with really air transportation in or out of Tucson, give us a call at 790-2040. When we come back with Bonnie Allen, President and CEO of the airport, we will be kind of getting an update on how we are doing in attracting new air service. And we'll be looking south to Mexico, which looks like it could be very positive for us, perhaps in the Rocky Point area, where they have a brand new international airport. But guess what? They have no tenants or flights. How about Tucson serving Rocky Point? We'll continue with Bonnie Allen right after this.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Thank you.
Coming up on 12:49, this is the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday here on AM 1030 KVOI. The voice, Bonnie Allen, is with us. We're talking air transportation. Bonnie is president and CEO of the Tucson International Airport. She's also an executive, actually the chair of the International Association of Airport Executives. Bonnie, last year was pretty much a tough year, flat growth for airports all over. And I know that you interface a lot with your colleagues all over the world. Were they pretty much coming up with the same story?
Yes, particularly domestic U.S. was flat or even slightly down because of the reduced seat capacity by the airlines. So we've all struggled trying to get more seats to our respective airports to serve our customers. International, there was slight growth, and that's where the airlines, particularly the larger airlines, are focusing their attention because they can get higher fares from the international service. So that's where the growth was.
You know, and when people complain, they say, well, we don't have enough service or we're not getting enough nonstop flights. The way to remedy that, one of the remedies, is to use your local airport, Tucson International Airport, and not drive up the road to Phoenix. And then if some people drive up to Phoenix and then they fly to San Diego, something I really can't understand, because we have good service to San Diego. And actually, Mary Davis, our friend who is the Senior Director of Business Development and Marketing, as you know, Bonnie, is welcoming people to contact Mary,
yes,
about the reasons why they do that, why they drive to Phoenix and then fly to San Diego.
Exactly. We are doing everything we can to collect data that we can then formulate and take to the airlines to justify additional service for our community, whether it's more seats to the same markets or whether it's new markets that service can be supported. But we have to show that we have hard data to the airlines in order to get them to consider it.
And we have to have aircraft that leave Tucson that are, there's a break, kind of a break point, break even point, I guess they call it. And it's in the mid 80s as far as seat capacity. If the airlines see that those seats aren't being sold, and if you're below that mid 80 break point for too long, you're going to lose service.
That's correct. Their break-even is, depending on the type aircraft and the distance and so on, is approximately 80 to 85%. And the airlines will not continue service if they are not at least making some money on the flights. There are many other airports, just like Tucson, that are asking for additional service and have good hard data that airplane could be moved to. So it's incumbent upon us to fill those seats every day.
How about toward Mexico? Looking toward Mexico, a survey was done by the Southern Arizona Logistics Education Organization. They found that the top destinations from Tucson to Mexico, what Tucson business people and travelers would like to see, Bonnie Allen, Guaymas, Hermosillo, Ciudad Obregón, and Rocky Point. The Rocky Point expansion, I think, looks very promising. Would you agree with that? I mean, they've got a new airport down there.
Yes.
And a lot of Tucson, mm-hmm. I mean, the demand would be there, I think.
Well, that's what our data so far from the survey has indicated, that the demand is there for all four cities, specifically both business and to Rocky Point would be predominantly leisure. So that's why we are continuing to try and collect data and have a survey out as we speak for business survey on travel to and from Mexico to help justify that service.
And folks can take that survey. Probably the best way is to go to the Tucson International, your website, probably to get more information, correct?
Yes, sir. FlyTucsonAirport.com contains a link to that business survey. Additionally, you mentioned the leisure to Rocky Point. We are developing a survey for leisure travel to Mexico that will be up and running very soon, and we'll be asking for people's help in participating in that survey. Again, you have to have the data, hard data, to show the airlines that the demand is there before they'll consider the service.
I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of the whole airline industry, and you're very close to this, being the chair of the International Airport, that executives group. What seems to be the trend? You mentioned that international travel is increasing, but domestic seems to be flat right now. Are we looking at another year or so of flat travel as the economy catches up?
Well, the forecasts are that we are looking at another year or two. Once the economy starts growing and people are more comfortable spending money, then they travel. The air travel is typically the first area that people cut back on expenses, whether it's leisure on vacations or business travel, and it's the last area that they start investing in once the economy turns around and they're feeling more comfortable.
The volume last year, we were down about 1% at the Tucson International Airport in terms of traffic. Would you look for that to be probably about what you're looking at, somewhere around that this year?
Somewhere in that area or flat, unless we can convince airlines to add more seats, which we're continuously doing. We're meeting with them on a regular basis, sending them the data that we receive from businesses and we collect through other means, and trying to convince them to add service in the areas that we've identified.
One area that seems to be a bright spot, and I know many Tucsonans like to go up to the Pacific Northwest, that's the Alaska Airlines service, and I'm glad that they made that decision, Bonnie Allen, to extend the use of larger, newer jets for the daily Tucson-Seattle nonstop. I'll be taking that myself in May, and I'm glad to see that they've switched over from the older Boeing 737-400 to the new 737-900 model. It really does make a difference.
Well, yes, it does. The newer aircraft obviously are far more comfortable and quieter and fuel efficient, which is the key. The airlines are upgrading their fleets to more fuel efficient aircraft because that cuts their operating costs. Fuel is what drives so much.
And are we seeing, is the trend going to be fewer of these regional jets, the RJs?
They will be fewer of the 50-passenger regional jets because they are not as fuel efficient, and the trend is going to the 70 or 90-passenger, and particularly the new ones that are in development. Bombardier, who has a plant on our airport, mm-hmm. in fact, is in development for what they call the C-Series, which will be around 100 passengers, and they're far more fuel-efficient aircraft. And so that should open up some opportunities.
There's also some good news about Southwest. Southwest added an additional outbound flight to Denver Monday through Saturday from mid-March to mid-April. Hey, we'll take any expansion we can get. Even if it is seasonal, of course, this is our March would probably be our busiest month at the airport. But wherever we can get some additional flights, we'll take it.
Yes, sir. We will, Bill. And in fact, that was a result of our meeting with Southwest, showing them the data we'd been able to collect from our passengers in other areas and showing the peak demand months, and they responded. So we're very pleased with that.
Bonnie, I'll have you slip on that headset right there so we can go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan would like to ask a question about military traffic operating at Tucson International Airport. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you. I'm a little confused about this F-16 program. Are we losing that? And if we get the, what is it called, the 135 program, if we get that, will we have two different military planes there, or is it possible we'll lose all the military there? I'm a little confused.
Okay, Dan, good question about military traffic.
Okay. I can't speak for the military, but currently the F-16s are based at Tucson International Airport on the 162nd Fighter Wing base, which is adjacent and uses Tucson International Airport. As we understand it from the military, the F-16s will continue, but they are towards the end of their lifespan, and they are being replaced by the F-35. Both Yuma and Luke are receiving the first round of those F-35s, and Tucson International is the base by Tucson International is being considered for that. As the F-16s are phased out, the F-35s will be phased in to the bases that are selected.
So F-16 traffic will continue up until when we get the F-35s, and whether they use Yuma or Luke, we'll probably still get some F-35 traffic down here.
Well, I don't believe that decision has been made by the Air Force yet.
Right.
But if it is made to bring them here, then they will be phased in as the F-16s are phased out.
But so that decision is still to be made. So right now we've got the F-16s for probably a few more years anyway. Right?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, Bonnie Allen, we're going to have to wrap it up. You are always welcome. People can call you anytime to put their input in about air service, right?
Yes, Bill. We would love to hear from our customers. And any data that you can provide us will be helpful. We'll use it with our airlines. Thank you
so much. Bonnie Allen, who heads up the Tucson International Airport. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. We provide Culligan water, and we're glad we do to all of our in-studio guests. We like Culligan water, and it's really simple. It just simply tastes better. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Coming up this afternoon, 3 to 5 here on KVOI, it's the John C. Scott Show. And then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Rosemary Brandt, our fine producer, that's going to wrap it up for our Monday edition. We'll be back with you tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.